call the December 6th Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman DeAndrea.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, with apologies, the sound system appears to not be working. So we'll...
Okay.
So are we going to get a recorder?
It's working. The recorder's working. Just not real loud here. Okay, so we'll move on to item B1, citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak on any matter, please come forward. Give us your name and address. Any citizen wishing to speak? Mr. Selasky, good evening. No. We can hear you, but it's...
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
There's a mic in your hand.
I can't hear you. I do not live... Oh, my name is Scott Selansky, 8565 South 68th Street, Franklin, Wisconsin. I do not live on the Hawthorne Street or live in the Stonehenge subdivision, but I do consider myself a physical conservative, which is why I have questions about the status of the ballpark expansion. I read about the indoor facility being revised per the city's website to be a golf driving range, concert venue, and sand volleyball courts. My concern is that the original ballpark expansion had a 265,000 square foot indoor sports facility, but it was revised to be multiple smaller buildings as early as last July. Yet, the August 25th issue of the Franklin Now still showed the old picture, and the journal of September 7th, front page, above the fold, also showed inside the old picture of the very large proposal. In fact, the journal also said, excuse me here, that the centerpiece would be a 2,500 ballpark stadium with a indoor sports complex with four Little League fields. Now, this is being stated on September 7th of this year. Now, I think that as Alderwoman Wilhelm had said many times that we need to get the truth out here as to what is going on. So I think the city needs to do more to correct this unfortunate false narrative presented in the various print medias more than just updating their website. And by the way, when I look at your website, it appears to show the incorrect version of that very large sports facility, which I believe is being replaced by smaller buildings. So what are your thoughts, Mr. Mayor, about changing this false narrative?
Well, it's not a false narrative. As we're going to see tonight, proposals change until they get to the building inspection or building permit stage. So what we're experiencing is exactly that. A change in the plans.
In the July geotechnical report, Mr. Mayor, it clearly stated that the large indoor sports facility was removed from the proposal and replaced with smaller buildings. This was July. I just read you front page headlines from August and September. All right? That to me is still promoting a narrative that the council knew about in July. Inadvertently, I admit, right? However, the news media still is printing false information about this large indoor sports complex with four Little League Diamonds. And I'll be honest with you. Nobody in this area has an indoor sports facility with four indoor Little League Diamonds. And it would be a good draw. But that is not what the proposal is. It's now going to be smaller, and it's going to compete against local establishments who already have indoor or outdoor sand volleyball pits and a driving range. And again, I'm not trying to be argumentative here, but it has been stated at the very beginning, you want to get the truth out. And it appears as though inadvertently there is the misconception that you're going to have a very large indoor sports complex, which is not the case. So how do we go about correcting that misinformation?
Well, as everybody in this room will tell you, including Ms. Stoiber, I don't control the media and what they write.
Right.
So your issue, I understand your issue. We've talked about it here at the council level and the Plan Commission and other places about the changes that are being proposed. We can't print those in the paper. It's not what we do. So your issue should be with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Business Journal, and Franklin Now.
So where do they get the picture from?
I have no idea.
Do you think it might be appropriate for you to supply them with a new picture?
We don't have a new picture.
I'm sorry. You don't have another updated proposal?
No.
Are we working on a development agreement with the developer? Yes or no?
Depends on what you mean by working on. There's one pending, but there is nothing on paper. Well, there's nothing.
Are we working on an agreement with the developer per the next step of this timeline? Just yes or no, Mr. Mayor?
We will be.
Are you now?
Not at the moment.
Nobody's working on it?
Nope.
Nobody has started on it?
Yes.
I'm confused, Mr. Mayor. Are you...
I don't know what the
big... Attorney, you want to clarify this for me, please?
Mr. City Attorney.
City is awaiting review and potential approval by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources for any development on the land, as well as from Milwaukee County. And the development agreement process is held in abeyance pending at least something much closer than where it is at this point in time. And the development team on the other side of the table, I understand, and a number of consultants and additional newly hired consultants is essentially working around the clock on those pending matters, which is the required approvals.
And so the Wisconsin DNR is working with a developer right now?
Developer is preparing application plans necessary and the like for the required DNR approvals.
So the Wisconsin DNR isn't working on this at this time. They're waiting for something from the developer.
I'm not on the other side of the table. I understand they're constantly in communication with DNR, working through the process.
Mr. Zelansky, that has nothing to do with the City of Franklin other than to receive approval or denial.
But you are working
those issues, Mr. Zelansky, those issues relate to the Milwaukee County and the Department of Natural Resources. To ask us what's being conversed between the developer and them, wasted energy because we don't know. It's not part of our responsibility.
I understand it, Mr. Mayor. My question was, is someone on the city working on a developer's agreement for the ballpark expansion per the TIF number 5 district?
The answer to that was no, not at this moment.
How about yesterday?
No.
Okay.
The day before, no.
So nobody has started it?
No. Well, that's not entirely correct. We've received the boilerplate, we've reviewed it, and that's where it is.
So somebody is working on it?
No.
Did you review the boilerplate?
Yes.
Okay, then I would think someone's working on it.
No. I can't be any plainer. We're not working on a development agreement at this time.
Mayor, can I say
something? Sure, you can join in, Alderman Willem.
I guess sitting here from my point of view, this is my answer. Since we had the meeting when this was approved with these 40 contingencies and the plans were put in as they were, and the document said there was a change, We approved what we had, and it had all those contingencies, but we have not, to my knowledge, received a new revision of any form of saying that, you know, the concept of the building would change or anything, even though there is language in there that says that they have made changes. The developer has not provided, that I've seen, anything that shows a different plan. So what I'm hearing from the city attorney and the mayor are they're working on to make that, the changes, to fit into what the DNR will allow them to do. Once they do that, then we expect to see that, then we'll probably pick up on the development agreement. But I'm not aware that there's nothing happened since that meeting.
Other than looking at a boilerplate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The last thing is that, I think we all agree that we don't need another, you know, rampage white elephant in the city of Franklin. And that I'm assuming, but then we know what assume means, that before you start on this development agreement, that there will be some due diligence being done. Is that going to be done, Mr. Mayor? A due diligence analysis?
Here we go again. There was one done prior to the TIF. Imposition of a TIF. Mm-hmm. We had their market study, and we checked it against our independent market study that showed a viable project. Should there be a point where we get a recommendation from staff that the substance is changed such that they feel that there may be a need for another one, then we'll do another one. But at this point, I don't anticipate having that happen.
And then my final question is that all this aggravation would be go away if the stadium moved next to the existing indoor sports facility, and has anything been done to look at that as an option so this all evaporates and everybody goes along happily?
Well, you make all kinds of assumptions, but the answer to that is no. It's not the position of the city to tell people where they can put their developments or not. So the application was for at the Crystal Ridge Ski Hill area.
Okay, so just so I understand this, Mr. Mayor, nobody at the city made any suggestion to Mr. Zimmerman to put his stadium at the Rock Complex?
I can't speak for the whole city. I did not.
Okay. Again, Alderman Wilmot, I'm just trying to get to the truth, like you indicated, and I'll see you guys next.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak on any matter? Attorney Haskins.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Mayor.
Good to see you.
Lawrence Haskins, 7300 South 13th Street, Oak Creek, Wisconsin.
We Mr. still like you.
I feel like an outsider. I'm here to speak in behalf of the applicant on item G3, the preliminary plat for Evergreen Park Estate Subdivision. I can make my comments now or speak when the item comes up on the agenda.
I don't anticipate an objection, so why don't you wait?
Okay, very good. I'll wait. Thank you very much.
Anyone else wishing to speak on any matter? Anyone else? Seeing none, I will close the citizen's comment period. Move on to item 2, mayoral announcements. Inspector?
Yes, sir.
We had a very nice graduation for the Citizens Academy, and even better was honors and awards for Franklin Police Department. And I've asked the inspector to give an abbreviated presentation to the council so that they can hear of some of the good things that were accomplished by the police department this past year.
Sure.
You want to sit down?
No. Good.
Knock yourself out, man.
All right. So on behalf of Chief Oliva, I'd like to let you know about some awards that we gave out. Every year, these Tuesday before Thanksgiving, we come together as a department and a community to present awards to our citizens and also our officers and dispatchers for good deeds done in our community. Resident Dino and Rachel Flores and Kyle Hovanek were given the Citizen Community Service Award in recognition of giving to citizens who distinguish themselves by performing outstanding services to the community or the department. Citizens John Godden and Jonathan Shearer were given the Citizen Life-Saving Award in recognition of giving to citizens who, without regard for personal consequences, save or endeavor to save a life of another member of the community. Dispatcher Amy Hughes was given the Meritorious Dispatching Citation, awarded to a dispatcher that provides exceptional dispatching service under adverse circumstances, bringing credit to themselves, the department, and the dispatch profession. Officer Ann Aid and Officer David Berkey were given the Meritorious Arrest Citation, awarded to an employee for recognition of the use of their trained police investigative and interrogative skill, ability, and intensity in the arrest or clearance of a felony or a serious misdemeanor crime. Communications Supervisor Cindy Mankey and Officer Kevin Mulligan were given the Life-Saving Award, awarded to any employee who in the line of duty saves or endeavors to save the life of another by timely actions that do pose a risk to the employee or others. And I'll just go into one situation that we had, I'll detail. And it was a very extraordinary incident and also response by many people of our police department and also the fire department. And that occurred back on April 16, 2016, a school bus that was en route at the end of the day, at the end of the school day, to drop off children. The bus driver fell unconscious and was slumped over the steering wheel while the bus was in transport. The school bus, with the driver incapacitated, had crossed several lanes of traffic and collided with two vehicles before coming to a stop in a ditch. Officer Kevin Mulligan was on the scene in moments and tried to enter the bus to render aid. The children were crying and panic had set in. Unable to pull the door open, Officer Mulligan was able to break the door and remove the driver. Once out of the bus, Officer Kevin Mulligan performed CPR on the unconscious driver. Seeing that Officer Mulligan was becoming fatigued, after several minutes of this effort, a passerby, Jonathan Shearer, one of our community members, intervened and took over for Officer Mulligan. Officer Mulligan and Jonathan worked in tandem to deliver life-saving measures to the bus driver until rescue arrived and continued those efforts. Kevin had met the bus driver afterwards, who survived and was here last Thursday, to give his appreciation to Kevin, the fire department, and other members. And he advised Kevin that apparently he had coded twice. And at the hospital after resuscitation occurred. And basically the doctors had indicated that if it wasn't for Kevin being as close as he was to the accident, Mr. Shearer for helping Kevin, and then, of course, the paramedics for their efforts in the paramedic unit on the way to the hospital, he wouldn't have survived. What was nice about this is the bus driver also went back to Country Dale School and met with all the children that were on the bus because they were pretty concerned, of course, as to what they saw, not really knowing what the officer was doing. Some of them thought that the officer was hurting him, of course. And so that was all explained out by one of our officers, the bus driver at the school. So it really turned out to be quite a successful situation in our city. And it really went to several layers, going all the way back to the school and to teach the children why police officers and firemen are out there to help.
A couple things I'd like to point out. Officer Berkey, this is at least his second award for similar circumstances, which is a good trend. And there was some comments last Thursday about how long it took the fire department to get there. All of it was in good-natured fun, and the fire department arrived quickly. But I do want to point out that this experience with Officer Mulliken, who is a motor officer, he drives a motorcycle, our squad cars now are all equipped, thanks to you guys, with IEDs. So that would have been, were it a road squad, that would have been available to them as well. So thank you all for providing us with that tool and the and the quality fire department we have. So thank you, Inspector. Any questions for the Inspector?
Thank you.
Thank you, Inspector. For the record, Alderman Mayer has left the room at 6:50. Move on to item C, approval of the regular.
So moved. Second.
For the record of the November 15th County Council meeting, Alderman Wilhelm.
Could we make that contingent on verification of the, is this the one that has the, it might be in the stormwater management. We might have gotten in the last one, but there was a minutes for Glenn, the item that you have on the agenda with the motion. I guess it's not within these minutes, so you can forget what I
all
said.
All those in favor of the motion,
aye.
Signify by saying
aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Alderwoman and Mayor has returned to her seat. Okay, move on to organizational business. E1, appointment of Matt Cool to the Community Development Authority. Alderman Taylor.
Motion.
I'm sorry, Alderman Bart.
Second. I think you saw the four-year thing. You saw the four-year in Fourth District.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm trying to help.
Okay, good. All those in favor, signify. I'm sorry, roll call. Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion carries. Six ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Move on to item F1, a petition from Muskego, or I'm sorry, residents of South North Cape Road. Opposing the access to North Cape Road for the Muskego Norway Muskego School District. Is there a motion to place on file?
Motion to place on
second.
File.
Discussion on that motion. Alderman Mayer.
What do we know about this so far? Has Muskego approached us for an entrance on North Cape or anything?
Mr. City Engineer.
We have had some meetings with Muskego Norway School Corporation, City of Muskego, and Waukesha County. South North Cape, if you are familiar with the geography, there's a section that runs straight north-south. And in that section, which is where the school's going in, the western half of the road is actually on the Waukesha County side. So technically it's not in Franklin, but we've had a lot of discussions, and I believe that the county and the city will work with us to see that our interests are dealt with. We've asked the school corporation to submit a TIA, traffic impact analysis. They did so. We had some comments with the help of Sewer PAC, and some of Alderwoman Mayor and myself met with the school corporation, discussed it. They revised the TIA, haven't fully analyzed the impacts of that yet. I have some requests as far as a dedicated left-hand turn lane. I also ask that at no segment shall be a lower level of service. So if it's a level of service B now, it needs to remain a level of service B and so forth. I would anticipate probably some intersection improvements at McShane and South North Cape. There's some issues. The whole intersection, Forest Home and South North Cape and Highview Drive, and I have Milwaukee County. They're working on those issues with Waukesha County.
Obviously, it's their decision where they're going to put their school, but it sure doesn't make a whole lot of sense to put it way on the border of the community like that.
And this would be the school's only entrance, would be onto South North Cape.
Right into our city, though. Will we see this again? Will we get any input on this?
I received a phone call the other day from Waukesha County. They would like to talk about some sort of jurisdictional transfer. So this subject will come up again. I'll bring for you forward to you. So.
Thank you. Alderman Mayor?
I think the reason for the frustration on the parts of the residents who live in the area, nobody knew that this was happening. They found out from some flyer that was put in some of the mailboxes, not all of them. And this all started back in 2008, actually, when the city of Franklin received notification that they wanted to purchase some land. And out of courtesy, they came to Franklin to let us know that they wanted rezoning of that property and whatever. At that time, I don't think that the residents were informed of it, maybe one or two, but most of them were not informed even at that time. At that plan commission meeting where it was brought forth, there was a lot of discussion from the alderman of the district at that time, Ken Skronsky, the mayor, to have discussions with Muskego and try to get some of the concerns out there. My understanding from staff is that there's nothing in the file going forward from that. So I'm not exactly sure, because the tape was very clear that we wanted more from that, but I'm unable to find that at this point. So the residents came to me with that petition, and I decided to put it on file. So.
Good. I'm glad you did.
Anyone else? Okay. Motion placed on file. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I move the F2, memorandum from the fire chief regarding increases in the rates for ALS service. Any questions on this?
No.
Move to place on file.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 One abstention.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Mayor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayor.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Abstention.
It's okay. We understand.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Motion carries. 5 ayes. No noes. 1 abstention. No absent. Move on to item G1. Donations.
Motion approved.
Second.
All right. There'll be an argument at the next meeting on who gets credit. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Without objection, I'd like to move on to take G5 out of order, out of courtesy for the applicant. It's an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance rezoning a land from B2 to R3 at 11950 West St. Martin's Road. Alderwoman
Motion.
Mayor.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none. Matt Hall.
This is the schoolhouse? Is that the red building?
It's the red building, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. And I'm glad you didn't bring your neighbor with you this time. Move back to the regular order.
Mayor, I just have a technical correction to that.
Item G2. Item G2 is a request for approval for the fire department to sell 2 vehicles. Chief.
Paul has reminded me that those, whatever funds we recoup by sending them to auction, don't go back to the general fund. They would go to whatever fund they came out of in the first place. So the squad car would go back to capital improvement, I believe. Capital outlay, and the former fund would go back to the equipment involvement. So, yeah.
I just have a question. What are the years on
Alderwoman Mayor.
Ford Explorers?
The Explorer is a 2011 that we got secondhand from the police department. It's located out of.
There's two of them, though.
The new ones. The ones you're getting.
Oh, the new ones we're getting is a 2011, and I want to say.
Okay, thank you.
This is to the equipment replacement fund. One of those, yes. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those.
As amended.
As amended, thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to G3, a resolution approving a preliminary plat for Evergreen Park Estates, which is at roughly 49th Street and Evergreen Court. Mr. Deedle. And without objection, we'll allow the applicant to speak.
Thank you. In your packets are updated information, updated copy of the plat from the developer, as well as handed out at your seats was some additional conditions. Plan Commission recommended approval. Last meeting, the Common Council tabled it. December 1st, the applicant submitted a revised plat. Again, we are still looking at the plat that has 12 lots, has the cul-de-sac with an additional 6 lots on it, as well as the original 6 lots, 2 of them on 51st and the rest on Evergreen Street. The applicant had made one or two of the changes that were discussed at earlier meetings. For instance, the wetland setback has now been crosshatched. The applicant's attorney has sent a letter that's also in the packet indicating that I believe that they would agree to extending the trail from the cul-de-sac through the park to the parking lot as long as impact fees were utilized as well. But I can also note again that the city attorney had put together some conditions discussing this matter with Alderwoman Wilhelm and with staff. And staff's recommending approval, and so did the Plan Commission.
So the ordinance in the packet does not include these changes?
No. Council would have to act to add those.
Mr. Askins?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, once again, and members of the council. First of all, we're gratified by the recommendation from the staff to approve the preliminary plat. I'm here on behalf of Rick Crisbella and Creative Homes, longtime Franklin residents, longtime small business owner here in the city of Franklin. I don't want to repeat what I said in my letter. I just want to emphasize a couple of points. First of all, it's probably been a while since there's been single-family residential plats submitted to the council. And just to emphasize, plat approval is really a ministerial act on the part of the Common Council, as opposed to rezoning, which is a discretionary act. And so if the plat meets all the ordinance requirements and all the boxes are checked, the plat's entitled to be approved by the Common Council, unlike a rezoning where you have a great deal of discretion. And single-family development really still remains a fundamental cornerstone of any community, especially a community, suburban community like Franklin. And we're gratified that the staff has recommended approval, and we would hope that the council would embrace and support the fact that single-family subdivision is being proposed in your community. The fact of the matter is, for the last 8 to 10 years in this market, there's been very few single-family subdivisions that have been proposed. And the reasons are twofold. One, it's the market, and two, it's financial. And the market is driven to a great extent by millennials and baby boomers retiring who are looking to settle into into apartments. And that's a good part of the reason why you see the proliferation throughout the Milwaukee area of multifamily developments, many of which are coming to cities asking for TIF assistance to locate in your communities, which is not the case with single families. The second is financial, and that really relates to the fact that since the recession of 08, the prices of lots have decreased while the cost of construction continues to increase. And so it really becomes difficult for single family developers to make a go of it in that market. The margins are razor thin, and in particular, in this situation, it's even more so. Typically, when you see a street built, you're able to put lots on either side of the street. It's not the case here because of the fact that it's adjacent to the conservancy area and adjacent to the city park. The street that's proposed only has lots on one side of the street. So where it's difficult to make a go at financially on single-family subdivisions, it's even more so here. So I hope you keep that in consideration in your approval. I just want to address, in particular,